This is the Roots to Risk podcast, hosted by Eric Schneider alongside Isaac Bach. Roots to Risk brings you insights, the latest stories, and long-form discussions about the cannabis industry. You'll hear interviews with industry leaders and their perspective on current and future trends, how they've built success, and what challenges they have faced. Our goal is to facilitate candid conversations and provide informative content for the cannabis community at large. Let's go! What is going on, Isaac? How are we doing today? How are we feeling? Got the pen hat on. It's February 1st. Lacrosse is back.
Start of the Ivy League lacrosse season, although the rules could be vastly different than they were when we were playing. But I know we couldn't start real practice until February 1st. So got her up the Quakes on the first day of the year, you know?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. But on more important news, we got another great guest on the Roots to Risk podcast, which is fantastic. We have Andres Azcaraga from
Axe Capital.
That was pretty good. I got my double R's back. You know, it's been a while since, you know, junior year Spanish, but I think we're okay. But Andres is one of the co-founders of Axe Capital, which was founded in 2018. It's a multi-stage VC fund based out of Mexico City, led by a seasoned team of professionals. Yak's investment philosophy is centered around partnerships and having long-term successful relationships with entrepreneurs they invest in. And their team focuses on empowering extraordinary teams in breakthrough industries to achieve outstanding results. To date, they have raised $35 million and they have $35 million under management with more than 35 investments. The fund's overarching strategy centers diversification across the value chain and diversification across venture stages, enhancing the risk-reward profile for its investors. What's really cool, and I think something that we're going to get, you know, really good insight into is not only the U.S. market, but global markets. And you know, specifically, I know that they have business in Germany, Brazil, Uruguay. So it should be really exciting to get not only Andres' take on the U.S. market, what they're seeing, but also internationally, right? And what global expansion looks like for the cannabis industry.
No, for sure. And definitely not something that we've had enough conversations on this show, or just, you know, honestly, in general, in our day-to-day work. So very excited to hear Andres' point of view on everything and, you know, hear what international markets they're excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's bring him in. Hey, Andres, how are we doing, man? Thanks for jumping on the Roots to Risk podcast today.
Hey, Eric. Pleasure to be here, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's been a while since we connected, so I'm also excited to get updates from my end. But, you know, if you could just provide a little background for the audience, like your role in the industry, you know, what you've built at Axe Capital and what you guys are doing in the space.
Definitely. With pleasure. Thank you for that. So basically Axe, we started out in 2018. My background is finance, especially venture capital and private equity. I would say that my last job was on venture capital, and that's where I met my partners. We were in a VC focused on technology plays here in Mexico, with more or less $200 million under management. And John and I, my partner, we were working there with them, and we started seeing the cannabis legalization kind of wave going on in 2018. So we decided to leave that fund and go build the Axe. I would say since then, it's been a long journey. But basically, I would say that in a matter of a few months, we were able to raise our first fund. That's a $20 million fund. And now we have a second fund, which is now 15. We've done around 35 investments across the value chain. I would say our strategy in Axe was diversification to our LPs, diversification through subsectors in the cannabis space, and diversification through company stages. And one thing that differentiates us, I would say, is we're based out of Mexico City. So most of our LPs and our high net worth family offices, and I would say some LPs from the US, but mostly Mexican family offices. And I would say that we use most of our network to try to leverage our investments to break that up. We have probably one of the larger textile companies in our investment committee, two of the largest CPG companies in Mexico in our investment committee, and one of the pharma companies as well. So I would say most of our angles have been trying to invest initially in the US and then bring back technologies, know-hows, brands into Mexico once it allows it. But that's more or less with what we've been doing in the space.
That's awesome. One of the questions I have is, how's the fundraising differently between your LPs based in the US and the LPs based in Mexico? I know raising money in the US has been a little difficult over the last few years. I don't know if that's the same down in Mexico, and you would obviously have much more insight than Eric or I on that front.
Yeah, of course. I would say that the industry has been ups and downs. Obviously, there was a burst of invoicing and Cervec fundraising at the beginning of 2018, 2019. That was when Canada legalized, and then kind of a lot of people made a lot of money there. People that went in the US early went and had a lot of money. I would say initially it was very easy for us to go pitch cannabis, as it's a very, when you talk about it to an potential LP, they know what you're talking about. Probably they've used it in the past, or they know the potential of alcohol once they lived through that. So it was an easy sell. After, I would say, several years of ups and downs, regulations being as tough as they've been, I would say many LPs have been burnt down the past. And mostly in the US, I would say now it's been super hard to fundraise, especially because LPs, I would say that they're waiting for something on regulations to happen for them to deploy more. I would say in YACS, in Mexico specifically, I would say we were fortunate enough that most of our LPs from YACS 1 invested with us in YACS 2. So definitely 2021 was when we started raising YACS 2, and most of the LPs came through. But 2022 and 2023 have been very, very hard for fundraising as well. So we've definitely paused our fundraising efforts until we have something on the federal level. Having said that, we will extend our fundraising of YACS 2 until 2024 with the hope that we have something on regulation and we're able to reach out to those LPs that were on the verge of investing, but kind of waiting for that regulation to change.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times when people think about the challenges of investing capital, raising capital in the cannabis space, we always think about it at the operator level, and not really at the VC level to then invest into the operators, right? And it's a big trickle down,
100%. I would say that that's the toughest part of the industry now. The industry doesn't have access to capital. There's no institutional investors. And companies are suffering from that. There's really no capital for expansion. There's no access to debt. We can talk a little bit more later of rescheduling, but I would think that having capital in the industry to be able to grow is the most important thing. And regulations have been very tough on capital raising and on operators, as there's really no capital to be deployed. So cannabis brands cannot expand. There's no dispensaries. There's no real money in the industry, or even for tech platforms, there's no money for the companies to expand. So really that's shortened up the time, and it's been difficult for us as a VC to find good opportunities.
Yeah, kind of on that note, with the rescheduling, do you think if it does get rescheduled, that'll open up more capital markets and institutional investors putting money into the space, which allows you then to raise money a little bit easier and then invest money into helping some of these operators grow?
Yeah, no, most definitely. I think, and for the benefit of everyone, I think that this rescheduling of 1 to 3 will bring a lot of capital to the table, and many initial changes. First of all, 280E, I think companies will benefit greatly from a 280E. They will be able to deduce the SG&A from their P&Ls. Their effective tax rates are around 50%. That will reduce until probably like 2021, like any other company that happens. They'll probably go on the uplifts on the NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange. I think we saw it in Canada. Whenever Canada legalized, the inbound of capital that came in into that those stocks was great. And we just see it in the CSE. Like all the top MSOs that trade on the CSE, there's just not enough volume. And I think the institutional money is just not there. I think compared with Canada, the US is around like 3% of institutional capital versus 11% on Canada. So I think there's a lot of capital that will come in once this happens. I think that there will be better access to credits. MSOs will be able to pay down debt, M&A activity, and just pushing down restructuring debts that they have. So I think all of this will be great for the industry. And I think that this is the time, one of the most interesting times to invest in cannabis. I always joke with John, but and some of our Yaks One LPs will kill me. But I think Yaks One, in a way, was a bit too early, just because regulation has taken too far. And I think Yaks Two is on the perfect verge of how we're investing, where the time of regulation and investing is. Just because I think this rescheduling will happen, and this will be very beneficial for inbound of capital, multiple expansions, and access to capital in general.
Yeah. One of the interesting things when I learned about it is that there are Canadian plant-touching companies that are listed on the NASDAQ, but U.S. companies that are plant-touching can't list on the NASDAQ. I find that very interesting and contradictory, and that's just one of the multiple things that that don't make a lot of sense, unfortunately, but...
It doesn't make sense at all, and I think last survey was 70% of adults want legalization. I think it's a matter of when, not if. And I always joke with John around this, but we're kind of feeling in the Big Short movie, like 2008 crisis, where how much do you have to wait for us to kind of get the returns that we'll wait. So we're kind of like started out a few years ago. We're waiting on this big moment, which we think will happen, and we think will happen soon. So kind of like bullish on the industry and putting our eggs where, yeah.
Yeah. And one question that I had is like, when you know, your philosophy on companies that you want to invest in, you know, what are maybe some key metrics that you're looking for? And when you're analyzing potential opportunities, like what's interesting also is, you know, you guys not only operate in the US, but, you know, other countries. So we'd love to just get a sense of like what your thesis is when looking at investing, you know, an attractive operator versus maybe not so much.
Definitely. So you touched on a great point. So Yaks, I would say what differentiates us is we're kind of a global cannabis VC fund. Most of our investments have been in the US, but we have invested in Brazil. We have invested in Colombia and Uruguay in a company, and we have two investments in Germany. I would say our focus is the US, but we have diversification, and we believe in global legalization of cannabis. Specific to your question in terms of how we see opportunities, I would say there's different buckets. First of all, in the US, we see a big opportunity in public markets now, just attractive multiple entry points. If you see an MSO that was trading before kind of like HHS announcement was trading at 4 or 5 times EBITDA versus a 14.5x on high growth retail companies or CPG, it's just the difference there between one industry and the other is just 280E. So the attractive entry points right now is just a financial trade, in my opinion, not even about cannabis. I think the entry points that we're getting there are very attractive, and even more so than the private ones, as some of the private ones can't offer or are not trading at those discounts that the public ones are. And this is assuming some of the big companies have trade up 100%, 200% since that announcement. So that means that some of these companies were trading at 4 times EBITDA, 0.5 to 1 time sales. So to me, that's one of the most attractive entry points of my lifetime, at least. And that's also has transferred into the private markets. With John's experience, John's background is he was a CEO of Google Mexico, one of the first employers in Google. His background is tech, and he was a director of YouTube Latam for many, many years. So that's his background. So we have the benefit of having the technology background on our team. That gives us a lot of edge to when we analyze technology opportunities. So right now we're also analyzing some and investing in some of the early stage tech opportunities supporting the cannabis industry. I would say our focus has been more on bigger TAMs and great teams. It's important to mention that some of these companies have no capital. They cannot spend anything. So some of these companies on the tech platform, they're supporting the industry, but they don't have enough TAM. There's 10,000 dispensaries and there's 200,000 restaurants. So we're trying to focus on companies that can grow outside of the cannabis industry as well and can go beyond. An example of this is a company called Recover. That's cannabis testing through saliva. We just approved that in the investment committee. It's a huge TAM, almost $10 billion. And it has to do something with the cannabis industry, but it's not related to getting consumers or getting dispensaries to pay you a SaaS fee.
No, for sure. I mean, that's a good example. Are there any other kind of major technologies or sectors within the technology space that you guys or you personally find most interesting and have the largest application both in and outside of cannabis?
Yeah, definitely. We invested in, so we like companies that can grow outside of the cannabis industry. We invested in Catalyst, which is an affiliated marketing platform, which helps companies grow their revenue through their technology. And they started out with the CBD space. They grew into 2Xing their revenue each year. And the natural next move is moving outside of cannabis. That's definitely something that we saw that was interesting that we can support through our investment committee. And we think that that's a huge market per se. I think one of the biggest challenges from our industry now is there's a lot of companies doing the same on the tech platforms, ERPs, marketing data, software for companies and MSOs, and they all have raised large amount of capital at large amount of valuations. So the consolidation is not there. I feel at one point there's going to be a huge, big tech platform that consolidates every single one of them, but it's hard to combine CEO egos and then some who of those VCs will eat the lower valuation, which is not supported by the business or the growth. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity to grow on the tech space. I think that's one of the most interesting platforms. I think once payments is allowed on cannabis, that's going to change the whole model. I think payments is one of the most interesting avenues in tech. And as you know, without SAFE, it's been very complicated for companies to try to do payments. There's workarounds. But in the end, I think once payments is activated, it's going to be a huge market and something that we're closely taking a look at.
That's awesome. And very well said. One thing that I was curious about, Andres, is given your experience in both the US and other markets, what are some differences that you've seen? And also what are some, similarities? I think, you know, that's a really interesting insight that we haven't had, you know, on this show previously, because again, we've dealt with mostly folks in the US market. So we'd love to just get an understanding from your point of view, maybe, you know, two or three main similarities and differences.
For sure. So I'll start with kind of the main markets that we're focusing on outside of the US. For example, Brazil. Brazil is a 200 million people country. I think the Anvisa, which is the FDA equivalent of Brazil, authorized medical cannabis imports in 2020. So right now, Brazil can import finished products into the country. And we invest in this company called Connect. Basically, Connect is a marketplace that gives online data through doctors and patients. They've done it in the past through a company called Conexa, which is backed by GA. So they're second-time founders kind of doing a pivot. And it's interesting to us because we see states like Florida with 3 or 4% of the population with medical cannabis and then going rec. We feel Brazil will never go rec, but we feel that the medical cannabis platform could be big enough for a huge market. Since we invested, the company has grown like 350%. They're profitable and growing. So we feel that Brazil, for example, is very much like Florida. It's a medical platform, it's a medical state, and it's a medical country for now. We don't feel that it will go rec soon. However, it's an interesting market that doesn't need to be rec, and so we're thinking large TAMs that can go there. Another example would be Germany. We have two investments in Germany, and we always thought, how can we invest in the next GTI? Do we have to go early enough, take risk before regulation? Yes, I think Germany is on the verge of legalizing rec. On the 22nd of February, the Bundestag is going to vote to decriminalize cannabis and authorize kind of like these cannabis clubs that will be on a second period of legalization. But most importantly, I think we took a risk of investing prior to legalization, and we invested in this company called Bloomwell. Bloomwell is this telemedicine platform that imports cannabis from all over the world into the medical German market. They brand it, and then through their prescriptions, they give it through their online pharmacy. They're the number one company, in our opinion, in Germany, number one market share. They've done like 20,000 patients, 150,000 appointments. And I would say it has the potential of becoming the next GTI if regulations change. But as we've seen in the past, one similarity is regulations that take more time than you expect. And this you can count on cannabis. And also, I would say that another thing that you can count on cannabis is anything will, if go wrong, it can go wrong, it will go wrong. So mostly regulations will take a lot more than you expect. Companies will need more cash than you expect. And you have to be there to support your portfolio companies to be able to provide them capital if they need it, and then try to be very hands-on approach. I would say one of the learnings from YAX, from YAX 2 to YAX 3, from YAX 1 to YAX 2, I would say is how we support our companies. How do we introduce portfolio companies with amongst each other? How can we increase their business, their revenues? How can we take advantage of those network that we have through our investments? So I would say that most of the other countries have been the same in regulations, but there's huge TAMs. And to finish, I would say Mexico was one great example where initially we thought that we were going to invest 70% in the U.S., 30% in Mexico, because back in 2019, there was going to be a change in regulation. Well, to our surprise, obviously that didn't happen. Medical products can be imported into Mexico, but no regulation on rec. If that were to happen, the difference between Mexico and the US is if Mexico is legalized on the rec market, you have 130 million people right away. and no boundaries on states, no boundaries on anything. So that's a very, very different perspective and larger terms, I would say.
Yeah, one just quick follow-up. Is there any, I guess, variation between different parts of Jersey? Like, you know, obviously with like the U.S., Florida is a different market than Ohio, than New York, right? Is there any differentiation in other countries that you've invested in, or is it pretty consistent throughout?
No,
does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
Or is it like sub-markets?
No, definitely different. I would say the in general, Europeans are much more conservative than Americans. And Mexicans are much more conservative than Americans too. I would say that Americans look for high THC. The larger amount of THC that a plant or a product has, they're better and they're happier. To Mexicans, I would say it's a little bit different. So tropicalizing brands and everything, that's going to be a very tough, I would say, task to achieve. But in general, I would say that definitely there's differences between the US and Germany. I would say Germany is a little bit more focused on the medical play. And I think Europeans will always be a little bit more focused on the medical play, prescriptions, doctors, data, even drugs, developments with the cannabis, rather than the US, which is, I think, very, very focused on the rec market.
Isaac, anything to follow up on? That's all I had. I know I've been dominating the question, so I wanted to give you a chance.
That was a lot of like very helpful information on kind of the international market and how it differs from the US, which, you know, Eric and I, for a variety of reasons, not to mention the just insurance regulations that kind of get in the way sometimes, are more familiar with the US market than anywhere else, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess looking into 2024, it's kind of crazy. We just closed on month one of 2024, which is wild. You know, what are you most excited about? What are you looking forward to? You know, do you think that there is going to be any regulation done by the end of the year? Just want to get your thoughts on what you see over the next 12 to 24 months.
Definitely. So I don't want to be, I don't have a crystal ball, but I've been burned before saying that regulations will pass and they haven't. But this time feels
different. I think every single person has. So
yeah.
You're not.
This time feels a little different. We're optimistic that rescheduling will happen. We have a hunch that it has to happen before April, so that they have enough time to be able to implement rescheduling before I think Trump will win eventually, so they cannot cancel out this rescheduling the same way that they implemented it. One thing that we're very excited about is hemp beverages. Beverages, I would say, is one of the since regulations changed in Minnesota and trying to be able to be massive distribution and points of sale, I would say one of the problems that cannabis has is there's not enough doors, as I mentioned before. And with these beverages, we'll be able to expand distribution, number of doors, which if you compare beverages to beer or even hard seltzers, hard seltzers 10x'd in 3 years. So I think hemp beverages has the potential to be huge in the next coming months if and when regulators adapt. I think Minnesota was one of the few states that took the risk and is paying off. I think New York's kind of doing something the same. So I would love to see regulators kind of adapt in that way so that they give space to hemp beverages. And I think that could be a market that could eat up for sure liquor and beers. And I would say I'm also very excited about DeSantis coming out and saying that there will be Florida November ballot, which if that happens, I think Florida will go rec. We invested in this company called TRP, which is heavily invested in Florida, which obviously there's public and private MSOs heavily invested in Florida. But I think that will be one of the big catalysts for this industry. And yeah, obviously, I'm very excited about the entry points for Yaks too, and the public and the private. I think we're getting pretty aggressive deals and opportunities just because there's not enough capital in the space. So we feel that there's going to be, obviously, if the industry goes our way, we feel that we have a strong portfolio.
That's awesome. A lot to unpack there, and I think all, you know, super valid, and a lot to be excited about. Honestly, I think, you know, 2023 was definitely a challenging year, but you know, a lot to be excited about, a lot to look forward. And I always kind of try to keep optimism, because even when it is challenging, you still see more proliferation of states coming online, and just every year it seems like there's momentum and movement. So I'm definitely excited, and we really appreciate your time, Andres. This has been an awesome episode, a lot of great insight that we haven't had previously, and super excited to see what Yaks Capital has in the pipeline, especially Yaks 2 with coming online. I know you guys will do great things. And before we wrap up here, Isaac, just going to ask a few fun questions. Nothing serious or business related, and we'll get you about your day.
Perfect. No worries. Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things we love asking people is, you know, if you're getting ready to work out in the morning or have a big call you need to psych yourself up for, what's on the top of your playlist? What's the go-to hype up song?
I like Tech House. I would say something with Solomon or Dixon or someone of these guys. So I'm pretty much into the music.
Love that.
I love that. Yeah.
You're in good company there.
Yeah. you know, another one is, you know, what is a book that you've, you know, found a lot of useful insights in, whether it's on personal development, business, you know, kind of development? Is there, you know, one that you would recommend people look into?
So definitely my favorite book is Stealing Fire by Jamie Wheel. I think that's given me one of the best insights to life in general, seeing how obviously how to expand different parts of my brain, how to attack different situations. I horseback ride, so for me, the flow state is the most important part of my day. And I think for me, trying to achieve the flow state every time or in a way is my most important part of the day or week. And in this book, I learned a little bit more of how to maneuver the flow state and in different situations, in work, in sports, in family. So kind of being present in the moment where it matters.
Yeah. That's like one of the biggest kind of hitting points that people want to always figure out how to get into the zone. So figuring out a way to get into that state is definitely important.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than when you go through something and then you're like, I don't even remember what just happened over the past hour.
That happens. Yeah, well, that happens to me when I'm in show jumping and I'm in the course jumping and it's, I go clear. That means like you went really good, and it's, you're standing there. And you're like, I don't remember what just happened. I just knew it was like perfect. And then you see the video and then you kind of like recall it. But in that moment, you're not thinking of anything else.
No, that's the best, honestly, the best feeling there is in sports. And then last one, I've never had a chance to come down to Mexico City where you guys are based. I know he's been down there once, but what's one restaurant, if I make it down there, I need to try out?
So definitely Mexico City is the spot. I would say if you haven't been, you're missing out. And this coming week in Maco, the art week is pretty fun. But I would say my favorite restaurant, which has food, good ambience and people, is Contramar, which is seafood in the middle of Condesa Roma. And it's a very nice vibe there. So I would definitely recommend everyone to come and take a look. You have to line up, so no reservations.
that means it must be good.
That's how you know.
But awesome, Andres. We really appreciate it. This has been great insight. And Iggy, do you have anything to wrap up on?
No, just thank you. And again, it's been great to catch up, Andres, and hear what you guys are up to. And looking forward to seeing what you guys do in 2024.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me, and we'll be in touch.
Another great one in the books. Really, really interesting perspective on both, obviously, the U.S. market as well as international, kind of what we previewed the show with. I think Andres gave great perspective and some insight that we haven't had on, you know, previously, which was very much appreciated, and excited to see what they do in 2024. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, honestly, like, I've heard a lot of excitement about Germany in the past. His insights on Brazil were definitely interesting. I've heard, you know, some things about South America, but not a ton. And so understanding what their view of Brazil is definitely good insight for us. And then, honestly, you know, excited to see how they continue to grow their investments inside and out of the U.S. and Mexico.
Yeah, and it definitely does give them a little bit of a leg up on, you know, even for U.S. VCs, right? Because eventually, hopefully one day, this expands internationally, right? And I think having the infrastructure and partnerships and relationships that they have and they continue to build will just give them a larger leg up on other VCs in the space that, you know, may not have the same resources internationally.
For sure. Yeah, hopefully we get to a point where, you know, it's kind of like the wine industry where stuff from Sonoma is getting shipped across the world. So we'll definitely see. And yeah, those connections are building right now are definitely going to help them in the long run.
Absolutely, man. Well, until next time, appreciate you as always, and fired up for the next one.
Another great one. Thanks, E.